This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you live. I'm back and so glad to be back. President Putin and President Trump just finished their press conference. It is, you know, up until last week, up until the indictment that Robert Mueller pulled forward, I had been saying, pointing out, whatever, that there's, you know, obvious and considerable proof. I mean, you know, it's from Facebook itself, for example, that this private company in Russia, the Internet Research Bureau that Mr. Putin was referring to in the press conference, I think by a different name, Concord, was, you know, flooding Facebook and Twitter and whatnot with all these, you know, anti-Hillary Clinton, pro-Donald Trump ads and things designed to tear Americans apart and all that sort of thing. And I was saying, you know, maybe Russia did that. Maybe, you know, some billionaire in the United States did that. Maybe the Republican Party did that. I want to see the evidence. I want to see the evidence. Well, I've seen the evidence. Or at least I've seen the charges, which contain a startling amount of detail. And both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, have seen the evidence. And they've all come to the conclusion that the Russian government was messing with our elections. And, you know, I mean, yeah, so the Russian side will say, well, yeah, you've tried to influence our elections, and you've tried to influence elections in our sphere of interest in Ukraine, et cetera. But that's, you know, that is no excuse. So, number one, it is now clear to me, and I'm no longer, you know, I no longer have any doubt, that were it not for a couple of two things, although there's a whole bunch of them, but basically two things. Number one, for the Russian meddling in the election, number one. And number two, a small group of very, very powerful and wealthy billionaires who were given the power to manipulate elections by our U.S. Supreme Court. That had those two things not coincided, that Donald Trump would not be president. And he knows that as well. And either one of those things might be what tipped it over the top. But in the context of this, I mean, you know, our Supreme Court has said it's perfectly legal for billionaires to own politicians. It's perfectly legal for Robert Mercer to have done what he did with the Trump campaign, although we'll see, you know. It's perfectly legal for the Koch brothers to throw $1 million into dark money ads to get Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court because he's going to help out their business interests and these kind of things. But it's not legal under any circumstances in any way for a foreign government to come into the United States and mess in our elections. It's just simply not. And Donald Trump was asked the question, do you believe your own intelligence service? And he essentially said, you know, he essentially said, I'm not going to believe my lying eyes. I'm going to believe what Putin said to me. And I think this has now moved, this press conference this morning, in my opinion, moved Donald Trump from the area of essentially bad actor to high crimes and misdemeanors worthy of impeachment. In fact, beyond high crimes and misdemeanors, and arguably treason, in as much as we were attacked. And, you know, prior to having actually read this indictment last Friday, I would have said, you know, if the evidence shows, then I'm going to say, well, I'm saying it now. You read this indictment, and what was Putin's response? Oh, well, you know, we'll let the FBI come over and watch as we interrogate our guys. Our guys. But in exchange for that, and, you know, that but was a big one, right? In exchange for that, we want our intelligence services to go over to your country and interrogate some of your people. Right, like that's going to happen. I mean, this thing was a train wreck. This was, you know, and here you have the president of the United States trashing the entire Democratic Party. He said he stood on foreign soil next to Putin, the president of Russia, and said that the Democratic Party was only interested in obstruction, attacked a political party. Presidents of democracies, leaders of democracies don't even think like that, much less do that. That's what autocrats do. I was watching when he was at the NATO meeting a couple of days ago. And who's he walking down the street with and having a friendly chat with? Erdogan of Turkey, a guy who has turned into a full-blown autocrat, although he's still part of NATO. I mean, he's very strategically located. We've got this real problem now with Turkey. Jailing journalists, imprisoning political opponents. And Trump is walking and talking with this guy. By the way, Turkey is the place where in Ankara, Turkey, I believe it is, there is a Trump hotel or a Trump property. Trump has business interests in Turkey. Trump wants to have business interests in Russia. One of the things that we know from Mueller's investigation of Michael Cohen is that right up until a few months before either the primary election or the general election, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which it was, but just right up until a few months before one of those two elections where Donald Trump won, Michael Cohen, on Trump's behalf, was still trying to negotiate a Trump hotel in Moscow. So here we have this just blows my mind. I mean, I don't know how to say it beyond that. It just blows my mind. This is, we were attacked, according to these indictments, and I see no reason not to believe them. The data and the information and the detail is there. Mueller laid it out. And it was not rebutted this morning by Putin. And it certainly was not rebutted by Trump. We were attacked by a foreign power in a way that, in my opinion, altered the outcome of our election and made Donald Trump president. And of course, he's unwilling to acknowledge that, because that would mean that he would have to acknowledge that he is an illegitimate president, that Mike Pence is an illegitimate vice president, that Kavanaugh is an illegitimate nominee for the Supreme Court, that Neil Gorsuch, is an illegitimate member of the United States Supreme Court, that the actions that have been taken by Scott Pruitt to roll back environmental regulations so that more children in America will get cancer, but more oil billionaires will make more money, are illegitimate actions, that the actions that have been taken by Mick Mulvaney over at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Office of Management and Budget, but particularly the CFPB, to basically neuter them so they can no longer protect American citizens from the predations of giant banks, are illegitimate. Because this administration is illegitimate. It was not legitimately elected. That Ryan Zinke's selling off, bear's ears and cutting out our national parks and giving them away to campaign finance buddies of the Republican Party. And by the way, not only, in my opinion, is it clear that Donald Trump is a traitor, that he, in this press conference, committed an act of treason, attacking a political party as you're standing next to a foreign adversary. And yes, I'm all in favor of our having reasonable relations with Russia. We have reasonable relations with countries all over the world whose types of government we disagree with. We have a reasonable relationship with Saudi Arabia, arguably the largest exporter of terrorism on the planet. Now, I think that relationship should change, but that's a whole other topic. But yeah, of course, you want to have a reasonable relationship. But when somebody comes in and screws with your election and puts their guy in office, and then their guy comes over and says, hey, everything's cool, I have a problem with that. And I think this goes even beyond high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, they indicted, the Republicans went after Bill Clinton for getting a BJ. They went after Bill Clinton for having what Bill Clinton didn't even consider real sex in the White House. And they called that a high crime or misdemeanor worthy of the end of the Republic. He's tearing down the Republic. Where are the Republicans now? They are complicit. We'll be back with your calls after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's come about 16 minutes past the hour. I'd like to get your thoughts on all this, too. We all probably watched the same press conference. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Wow. Johnny in Lamarck, Texas. Hey, Johnny, what's on your mind today? Thanks for watching Free Speech.
Hey, Tom. You look good when you're tanned, and I heard your speech on KPFT this morning from last week. Really good, inspiring.
Oh, great. Thank you. What's up?
Listen, I have to agree and disagree with what you're saying in regards to the Mueller indictment of those half a dozen or so Russians, or however many they are.
That was a full dozen.
Say again?
It was 12. Now we have 25 Russians who've been indicted, and Russia's refusing to extradite any of them.
Yeah, of course. Baker's dozen. Okay. Well, here it is. The chicken's coming home to roost. And again, I can't disagree that it's not a reason to say, well, you did it so we can do it. But that's the reality. It's human nature. So I propose this. From this point forward, we make an announcement. The official policy, although I doubt the Republicans will do it, is that you don't do this anymore, and we won't do these kind of things, too.
I don't think you could do that, Johnny. You can't just say we won't. What you have to do is put into place actual laws and an actual enforcement mechanism, and it has to have actual teeth.
Didn't I just say that?
No, you said we have to say we won't do this, and you won't do this. And that's a different thing than passing a law.
I also said the word policy, and I also said the Republicans in power won't do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, okay, forgive me. I think also that this is something that should be brought forward before the United Nations.
Absolutely.
So, okay, Johnny, thank you. Good to hear from you. Gary in Missouri. Hey, Gary, what's up?
I was just listening to you, and you said this blows your mind. My mind was blown back when he said he would date his own daughter if she wasn't his daughter.
Yeah, you know, that was Trump on Howard Stern. I'm not defending that at all. But that is not something that you impeach a president for. It's something you don't elect him in the first place. And I agree. Anybody who knew that, you know, and that was one of a long string of, you know, grab him by the crotch and all this other stuff. I get
that.
And the Republicans were basically these guys were willing to make a deal with the devil. They were willing to say, if you're going to make abortion illegal, if you're going to make, you know, guns freely available all over the country, if you're going to do away with environmental regulations, if you're going to basically cater to the wants and needs of the billionaire class and screw the American consumer, then we don't care what your sex life is like. We don't care what your marriages are like. We don't care how many women you've groped. We're going to put you in office. That's basically what the Republicans did.
And it's just since then that they've just catered to it.
Yeah.
And
but see, that is not even close to the same level as
treason.
As standing on a podium and saying into a camera to a foreign power, Russia, if you're listening, please hack Hillary Clinton, essentially. And that same day, Russia did it. At least according to the Mueller indictment. And, you know, apparently there's going to be a lot of ambiguity, probably throughout Trump's presidency, until or unless this is figured out. And I'm also wondering what other shoes are going to drop on the side of the Mueller investigation. You know, where is he going to go with this? But this was just remarkable. Gary, thanks a lot for the call. It's good to hear from you. We'll be right back. Stick around. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program. John Brennan, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, was tweeting about this morning. I thought I had printed it out, but I don't have the printout. Let me see if I can scroll down through this, because this was a real, Anyhow, basically what Brennan said was that this is it. Right. This is the former head of the CIA. This is it. This guy has stepped into the high crimes and misdemeanors territory. And that is I just have to share. I'm sorry. It's going to take me just a second here. I've got to share. Here we go. Whoops. Somebody just tweeted it for me. Thank you. He said, whoop. Now I lost it. Hang on. Here we go. 1 second. John Brennan, the head of the former director of the CIA, says, oh, rats. I'm gonna take your call while I'm looking for this thing. I'm sorry. Mike in Los Angeles. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Tom. You know, there's a lot of speculation about why the secrecy with their initial meeting and why only the Russian interpreter present and no close aides and all that.
Right.
And I think it's pretty clear that it's because Trump's been on the job for nearly 18 months, and he was getting his first performance evaluation from his boss, and those things are always confidential.
You know, I'm assuming you're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but it is...
I'm literal.
You're being literal. I wouldn't go that far. I don't, and this is, you know, I cut off a caller last Friday Thursday who came on and said, you know, okay, if Trump is trying to destroy the United States, if he's a traitor or whatever, I don't believe that Donald Trump is or wants to be an agent of a foreign power. I think he wants to have a hotel in Moscow. I think he wants his sons and his daughters to be rich. I think he wants to be seen as the world's biggest billionaire. I think he wants to be bigger than Carlos Slim, or bigger than the Koch brothers. I mean, in my mind. And so, if a foreign power reaches out and says they'll help, you know, Trump, I think, will say, and has said, in fact, yeah, sure, thanks a lot, I'll take the help. But Mike, I'm not willing to see one of the core assumptions that I think we always all have to make is that pretty much all behavior is motivated by a desire for a positive outcome. Now, it may be a positive outcome to one person's benefit and another person's detriment. But I don't think that Donald Trump is trying to destroy the United States. I think he's trying to change the United States in a way that may not be recognizable to many of us, that he wants to turn it into an autocracy, that he admires Putin, he admires Xi of China, he admires Duterte of the Philippines, he admires Erdogan of Turkey, and he is trying to remake the United States in that image, and the Republicans are going along with that. There is no law against that. We have had lawless presidents. I mean, Andrew Jackson, Donald Trump's hero, twice the Supreme Court said, you may not shut down the Second Bank of the United States, and he did. You may not do the Trail of Tears and export and death march the Cherokee from Georgia to Oklahoma. You may not do that. The president, Andrew Jackson, said, screw you, Supreme Court, I'm going to do it anyway. We have had lawless presidents before. And, you know, and our country has behaved in ways in the past that have been extraordinarily inappropriate. I mean, you know, in the context of what we claim are our ideals. Slavery is a great example, right? Reconstruction, or the end of Reconstruction, the whole era after Reconstruction. But anyway, I've said, here's John Brennan's tweet. And thank you, Sean. Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki, this is the former head of the CIA, rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? To which I say, amen. Donald in Aurora, Illinois. Hey, Donald, thanks for listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk. We just have a minute, a little less than, in fact. A quick one?
Yes. Hi, Tom. I agree with you 100% about Donald Trump. He's in it for his own enrichment. He also was able to get China to get a license for his daughter so she could sell her product.
Right, which is worth a couple $100 million. And he's still making his stuff in China, by the way, while he's complaining about Harley Davidson.
Yeah, but there is one thing that puzzles me. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did he not give classified information after attending a meeting about intelligence? He gave classified information to the Russians in that morning about Islamic intelligence.
You're talking today? Or are you talking about back when he was in the meeting with Kislyak?
Yeah.
Well, in the meeting with Kislyak, he laid out information about Israeli intelligence that he was not supposed to give them. And, you know, that, I mean, for God's sake, if Obama had done that, he would have been impeached in an instant. Thanks for the call, Donald.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
John Brennan, nothing short of treasonous. We'll be back with your calls. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, getting your thoughts on my thoughts on this. I mean, I'm saying, in fact, I want to take it a step beyond what I said earlier. Not only do I think that there are now, and this press conference is a big piece of it, but, you know, the indictments that came out last week, the previous actions, Trump revealing classified methods and sources to Ambassador Kislyak in the White House way back months ago, a year ago, I think it was. So, you know, when he said, hey, I fired that Comey guy, he, you know, like, the pressure's off now. What? Right? Like I said, had Obama done that? Can you imagine? I mean, the nation would be in flames. The Republicans would be lighting up the street. They would. But not only, here's the problem. Not only is this entire administration illegitimate, but I don't know that we have a mechanism to deal with it. I know of no constitutional mechanism. There's nothing in the Constitution about a do-over. Mike Pence was right at the center of this. He was in charge of the whole transition team, which was riddled with people who are now have pled guilty to participating in corrupting the election on behalf of the Russians. I mean, this, it is, or on behalf of Trump, with the Russians on behalf, you understand what I'm saying. And I frankly don't have a solution. I mean, obviously impeachment, but, and I think Mike Pence should be named in the articles of impeachment for his participation and his collusion and his unwillingness to step up and be a patriot. I mean, this is just breathtaking. Anyhow, let's pick up your calls. Brian in Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. I have sort of a two-part thing for you. The first part is that, you know, the indictment of the 12 Russians is one part. And I heard Lawrence O'Donnell and others compare this. They said it's like Watergate part two.
Oh, no, it's much worse than Watergate. Watergate was just, yeah. You know, Richard Nixon thought that they had information on his, you know, having gotten a bribe, which he had gotten, and he thought that the Democrats had it. And, you know, he was trying to break into the DNC to get that information so he could, you know, so he could prevent it from being used against him in the election. This is not some little domestic thing. Back to you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I interrupted you, Brian.
Yeah. No, but that's my point exactly, Todd. So we need to call this Pearl Harbor Part 2 or 9/11 Part 2.
Yes.
Because this is a foreign power attacking our most basic of institutions. If they launched a rocket and destroyed one of our buildings, we'd be, like, completely of a different mindset. So,
right.
So that's part one. And the indictments that are coming, and I appreciate your insight into what motivates Donald Trump, but I think it's more than that. I mean, he thinks that he is going to be able to out-negotiate, out-maneuver Putin. But at the same time, Putin is outmaneuvering him. And I think that his ties to Russian oligarchs and Putin run so deep and are of such long standing that, you know, that is a major part of what's motivating him.
Three or four years ago, Brian, his son Eric, in an interview, on the record interview, said we no longer, and this was after Trump's last bankruptcy, or he was referring to the period after Trump's last bankruptcy, which I think was about 12 years ago, said words to the effect of, we no longer need money from American banks. We're getting our money out of Russia. And he was talking about Russian oligarchs, these Russian billionaires who are looking to launder their ill-gotten gains. And by the way, and Brian, I'm going to drop here because I want to go off on this a little bit. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate the setup. Trump, you have to understand this guy's worldview. for all this to make sense, right? Why would he want America to look more like Russia or more like Turkey or more like the Philippines? You know, why would he want that? Why would he want to be the strongman leader of a country that's led by a strongman government? Because he is of the opinion, being a businessman, that the way businesses are run is how countries should be run. Remember when George W. Bush and Dick Cheney ran for president as the first pair of CEOs ever to become president and vice president in 2000, in the 2000 election? That was their sales pitch. We're going to run the country like a business. Countries are not businesses. The purpose of a business is to make a profit. The purpose of a company, of a country, is to do what's best for its people. Those are completely different things. But Trump doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand the law. He's never been trained in the law. He doesn't understand the Constitution. He's never been trained in the Constitution. He doesn't understand the history of the United States. All he knows is that for 40 or 50 years, he, or however long it was since his father grub-staked him for his business, and then he inherited a couple hundred million dollars, all he knows is that he was in charge. And that's how business is run. The president of the business or the CEO of the business says jump, and in the kind of business Donald Trump ran, the people around him say how high. And that's a business with no unions and not, you know, the kind of company where you have any kind of a relationship between the people who own the company and the people who are working in the company. And so Trump has this worldview, which I believe is shared by the billionaires who are supporting him, that business is, that the way you run a business is how you should run a government. And that's why these guys, whether it's the Kochs or the Mercers or Trump or whatever, the whole bunch of them, Adelson, I mean, fill in the blanks, right? That's why these guys are pouring millions of dollars into our election to elect essentially autocratic Republican candidates, because they believe that a country, and they believe this, I think some of them believe it's the best thing for America. This was the argument, arguably, that Russell Kirk made in his 1951 book, A Conservative Mind, which got Barry Goldwater and William F. Buckley going. They believe that a government which has little conflict and rules because it knows best is the best way to have a government. So Trump, you know, looks at these countries and says, you know, hey, There's no conflict. There's nobody in the streets. Remember when he was in Saudi Arabia and Wilbur Ross was with him? Wilbur Ross, the billionaire Secretary of Commerce. He said he was worth $5 billion. He told Fortune magazine. Turns out he's not even worth $1 billion. He's about $900 million. But that's still a hell of a lot of money. And Wilbur Ross, revealing his massive ignorance, said to somebody in the press, "This was spectacular. There wasn't a single protester in the streets of Saudi Arabia." Well, of course there wasn't. If you protest, you get your head chopped off. Literally. Every Friday afternoon, they have executions where they behead people, cut their hands off. But these guys think this is the way to run a country. And they're putting people in the Supreme Court who agree with them. They are installing, and I'm talking about the billionaires who are funding the Republican Party. They are installing members in the House and the Senate, and in state houses and state senates, and in governorships who believe that this is the best way to run a government. And, you know, frankly, I respectfully disagree. I don't think it's the best way to run it. I don't think you can run a government like a country, like a company. And it's, but you know, Trump is looking at this as a transactional thing. He's looking at this, he doesn't understand democracy, and he doesn't trust democracy. Stephen in Phoenix. Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind?
Morning, Tom. You know, the day after the 2000 elections, our friend, who's a paralegal, she emailed me, and she said, the UPS driver in the morning here just came in, and he was crying. And I think about that at least once a month now. Hmm. And I'm stupefied how far, as a country, where we have descended into. It's something I thought I'd never see. The FBI, the NSA, they've never been so disrespected by our president. And their former leaders, they just seem so incredulous about this Trump situation, what is going on. The entire Republican Party, you know, they are entirely complicit with allowing this insanity to continue. And this is basically high treason. And the Senate and the Congress, who have been elected in 2016, really is illegitimate. And I'd like to know when something is going to be done about this situation. This is basically, it's terrorism on our people, and I am.
Yeah. The only mechanism that I know to correct this, Stephen, is the elections that are coming up in November. And November is not that far away. It's just a few months from now. And we're going to have an opportunity as a country to do a major reset. The problem that we have, and this is another one of the lies that Donald Trump told from the podium this morning. He said, you know, the Electoral College is heavily weighted in favor of the Democrats, which is not true. Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes than Donald Trump. Donald Trump won the Electoral College because the Electoral College reflects, you know, you get two electors for each year's two state senators, and you've got states with little teeny tiny populations who have two senators, and you've got California with two senators, and the Electoral College, you know, it's just the Electoral College is like all, you know, it's the way to, so here we have a House of Representatives where the Republicans control the House of Representatives, and yet they represent just a little over 40-45% of the American public, whereas the Democrats are representing more than 50% of the American public, but they don't have power. And in the Senate, it's more like the Republican senators represent a little over 30% of the American public, and yet they control the United States Senate. And this was the deal that was made to preserve slavery and to keep the slave states and the northern states all together at the beginning of the Republic. And I understand all that, and we can do history lessons all day long, but it is not working for us. And it is the reason why a small group of billionaires who control just a few thousand, maybe, you know, nationwide, if you include, you know, all the state houses that now the Koch network is you know, doing, has, and all these state by state organizations, you know, the in Michigan, the ones that Betsy DeVos has been funding, and these other groups, why these guys have been successful. They're using our system against us. Enough said. John in Minneapolis. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I think it's overstated that it was a 9/11 attack. I think what's going on here is that we have a very corrupt system. You know, Move to Amend, you know, points that out very beautifully. I know you've been very supportive of that. The system is corrupt. It's corrupt worldwide, and institutions that we once depended on are lying to us. We're not getting accurate information. And the people that are really left out of it are people like me, people like you, a lot of your listeners, a lot of the middle class. And, you know, in the end, it will be the upper classes because we're, right, as Heidi Hautala has
There is
said.
A qualitative difference, though, here, John. And respectfully, I disagree with you. And
you
here's the qualitative difference. If I may.
I would like to say, can I finish?
No. I want to make this point. The qualitative difference is that if you and I agree that the corruption of our democracy by the Koch brothers or the Adelsons or whatever is a horrible thing, yet they are Americans. And even if they are doing what you and I think is harmful to our country, I believe that they believe that they're doing what's in the best interest of their country. They want to see a libertarian paradise. I don't think that Vladimir Putin's intentions or the intentions of, frankly, any other leader of any other country in the world is to do what's in the best interest of the United States based on their own belief system. And that qualitative difference means that what the Kochs are doing is corrupt, I agree with you. What Putin did, what the Russian government did, let's say specifically, is an attack. Back to you, John.
Yeah, I absolutely disagree with you. And why do you make yourself a useful tool for the corruption that you protest against? I mean,
I'm not going to let... Yeah, I'm sorry, John. I'm not a useful tool of anybody. And that's insulting. Linda in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Linda, what's up?
Hi, Tom. So,
I just noticed I missed my clock. I'm going to hit a break here in 8 seconds, which is okay. Not fair to you. Please let me put you on hold, and I'll bring you back in just a minute, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda. This is entirely my fault. I'm sorry. Here, there it comes. It's one day back in the saddle, right? I took 3 days off last week, and I've forgotten to watch my damn clock. We will be back. Is this treason? Is it merely corruption? Is it, you know, what is it? I think it's treason. I think we have been attacked. And I'm, you know, and the only thing I can see to do it is to get out
and
vote.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives. Yes.
And get everybody you know registered to vote and make sure that they show up to vote and do everything you can to support politicians who put America first, literally. I love No, this is yeah, Free Speech TV. Thank you. I'm still, okay. Linda, sorry I cut you off. It's Santa Rosa. Thank you for watching Free Speech TV. You're back on the air.
Okay, thanks. Tom, I agree with most of what you said. Yes, this is treason. The difference is that I don't think that it matters whether or not Donald Trump understands how democracy works. He doesn't care. All he cares about is himself and his power, and he will tear everything down with him. And
I agree.
The RNC was hacked. Those emails were never released. And those are being
you mean the DNC?
Used as compromise.
Oh, wait a minute. You're saying that the Russians hacked the RNC along with the DNC?
Yes, they did. And they never released those on WikiLeaks. Why? Because they are using them to blackmail.
How do you know that, Linda?
The senators. I feel it in my bones.
I see.
Because you see, Lindsey Graham, sometimes he's making sense, and other times his nose is so far up Donald Trump's backside, it feels like his dog chain has been yanked and has been reminded that there is some stuff that was found in the RNC that is embarrassing to him. And some of these other congressmen, it just seems really odd, their behavior. They are not patriots. They are compromised individuals, and they are not following their oaths of office. They have become tools of the Russian government, and they are supporting this treason. And they went to Moscow on the 4th of July, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
These people are treasonous.
This is the delegation. Yeah, for people who don't know what you're talking about, Linda, because it didn't get much coverage in the American press, bizarrely. You had 8 or 9 Republican senators, weren't they all senators, who went to Russia on the 4th of July?
There were senators and congresspeople that went there.
Okay.
And so I hope that voting will work, but I still feel that in the state of Michigan, there were 75,000 ballots that weren't counted, and the margin of victory was 10,000.
Right.
I don't have confidence that the manipulation of the voter rolls by either the Republicans with trying to knock people off the voting polls with cross-check, or with Russians going in and manipulating and taking people off,
right,
whether or not our elections will actually reflect the accurate intent of the voters.
Linda, I don't think our elections have reflected the intent of the voters. Well, in a big way, they haven't reflected the intent of their voters in hundreds of years because of the Electoral College. But in the more practical sense, in the context of electronic voting, I don't think that they've reflected the interests of the voters since 1998. And the 2000 election was a major turning point. But 98 was when we first started seeing redshift. And every year since 1998, The more heavily a state depends on electronic voting machines, particularly those without paper trails, the more heavily the exit polls disagree with the elections, and the more heavily Republicans win when the exit polls say Democrats should win. I agree with you on all that. To the best of my knowledge, the only solution, I mean, you know, you get the Ted Nugent types who are like, you know, well, the solution to all our problems is to go into the streets with our AR-14s or whatever. That's crazy. To the best of my knowledge, the only way we can do this is to massively, overwhelmingly show up at the polls, even if we don't believe that it is always, you know, that they are going to be consistently fair. We have to do this. I don't have an alternative, Linda. Linda, thanks so much for the call. We'll be back. What is this that we are experiencing right now? Is this a coup? Is this treason? Is this bad politics? Do you, as I said, I can't come up with anything other than, in order to resolve this problem, anything other than voting these guys out of office. And yes, I get it that, you know, states like Georgia that use untraceable, you know, voting machines, et cetera, and they have huge amounts of redshift. You know, we're going to have to show up 10 points over in order to beat a 7-point disadvantage that I think our rigged election system and you know, pushing people off the voting rolls and all that other stuff are creating. Charles in Opa-locka, Florida. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Sorry, I'm sure John didn't mean it that way, because I do like the way that he does.
I like John a lot. I just, you know, he pushed my button. But, and, okay, you know, life goes on.
But the thing is, I got 2 points, and I hope I can come clear as possible.
Sure.
I think all roads lead back to China. I think with Rick Gates standing up next to Rosenstein on Friday, it just proves it no matter what, that Trump had he had to know about what was going on, because this is Manafort's second, and you know, that was his partner, right?
Manafort lived, I don't know if they did business together. Manafort lived in his apartment in Trump Tower, and Manafort for no salary at all became head of the Republican the Trump campaign. And you know, and apparently Manafort participated in changing the Republican platform to say, wasn't such a big deal what happened in Ukraine, Crimea, et cetera, to the best of my knowledge, I recall.
But my point is, that was Rick Gates. He was standing up there when Rosenstein was giving out the indictment. And to me, that's just a signal that, hey, the gig is up.
Oh, Rick Gates was Manafort's business partner. I understand. I'm sorry, Charles. I misunderstood you.
Right, and he was standing right next to Rosenstein on the indictment on Friday.
It's Stein, by the
way. And the press is not, and the corporate press has not made anything about it. And that's the direct link from the Russians to Donald Trump himself, with Manafort being in the middle.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's not ironic to me that right now, China is holding talks with the EU. On trade,
sure.
And they've.
Well, it's been going on for a while. This whole Belt Road thing, you know, they're rebuilding the old Silk Road.
Right, and they've given Deutsche Bank, you know, underwriting abilities, and also interbank abilities.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Charles. And this is important stuff for us to be paying attention to. Thank you for the call, but I want to get back to this question of what the hell is going on here. With the President of the United States dissing the FBI and the Democratic Party in front of Putin.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.